Digital Inequity and the Myth of Injustice, Equal Access for the Blind May Not Be Delayed, by Eve Hill. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Eve Hill. From the editor, Eve Hill is the co-leader of Inclusivity Strategic Consulting and a partner at Brown, Goldstein & Levy. Her presentations are always outstanding, and this one, delivered on the afternoon of Wednesday, July 10, was no exception. Here is what she said.
You may have wondered a little bit about the title of my speech. I hope you thought something like, what? Eve's gonna say injustice towards blind people is a myth? That doesn't sound like her. Well, I am in fact not going to talk about injustice towards blind people as being a myth. As we all know, injustice towards blind people is very, very real. Yeah. And the NFB has been talking about, advocating for, and helping companies and government agencies to make their websites and other technologies accessible for decades now. But there are now over 1.7 billion, with a B, websites in the world. Luckily, 85% of them are inactive, so that leaves a measly 200 million active ones. There are over 547,000 new websites created every day. For those of you who don't want to do your own math, that's 380 per minute. And more, the internet is replacing physical stores. As you know, many, many retailers and service providers now provide everything online and have no physical presence at all. And workers now work virtually. Even the application and assessment process is entirely online to become an employee. Now, this should be a good thing for blind people. The digital world is made up entirely of zeros and ones, and they can be presented in any format, audible, visual, tactile, scratch and sniff, I don't know. And online access relieves blind people of the hassle of travel, which is a major barrier for people who can't drive or who have limited access to public transportation. So how many of those websites and online technologies are accessible? The news is not good, people. According to WebAIM, who studied the top 1 million websites' homepages, 98% had accessibility barriers. They found an average of almost 60 barriers on each homepage and concluded that fewer than 1% of homepages are accessible. Now, to the NFB and its members, getting those websites to be accessible is a daunting task, but as President Riccobono has made clear to all of us, we ain't daunted. The NFB challenges inaccessible websites and other digital technologies in the most impactful areas of life: healthcare, employment, education, voting, retail, and much more. And the NFB gives the owners of inaccessible websites the opportunity to fix their websites before we sue them. Hold me back. The NFB enters into public settlements that require those websites to be made accessible, and that require the owners to adopt policies and procedures to make sure those websites stay accessible. As with Boeing Employees Credit Union, Monster.com, eBay, Expedia, H&R Block, Miami-Dade School District, Greyhound, and more. And then we monitor their progress to make sure they meet their commitments. And when businesses refuse to agree to make their websites accessible, we litigate those cases. As a result, the NFB has made law clear in cases across the country, from Target to Scribd, to Los Angeles Community College, to Epic, to Ohio's Secretary of State, to the Container Store, to state and federal government agencies. And now, as I talked about in the Board of Directors meeting, we're going upstream to stop the flow of inaccessible websites into the digital world by challenging website developers like GoDaddy and Wix and others to make sure the websites they make are accessible from the beginning. But to some other people, including some blind people and some lawyers, inaccessible internet growth isn't a civil rights violation, it's a business opportunity. About 57 web accessibility lawsuits were filed in 2015, In 2018, it was 2,285, a 177% increase. And that number's on track to increase again this year. You've probably heard about so-called click-buy lawsuits, where a lawyer runs an automated web accessibility test on a bunch of websites and files a bunch of lawsuits against those businesses that fail the automated test. Some lawyers are filing 10 or more complaints a week, sometimes in alphabetical order, as if they were reading them from the phone book. Those lawyers don't send the owner of the website a letter ahead of time, and often they do little or no research about the company or its accessibility efforts. Websites are being sued that have already entered into public settlement agreements with the NFB. Companies are being sued even though they've been quite transparent about how they're making their websites accessible. And after the lawyers file a complaint, they demand a confidential settlement for a monetary payment, usually $5,000 to $15,000. So we never get to know whether they required the websites to be fixed or whether they ever followed up to see if the websites were fixed. Sometimes the companies sued are small businesses, and paying $5,000 is cheaper than hiring a lawyer to litigate the case. Other times, it's a big business, and they fight back. Unfortunately, this often creates bad law that can be used against blind people in other cases. That bad law can limit who can sue over an inaccessible website, limit the number of cases that a blind plaintiff can file. Some companies even defend these cases by saying the ADA doesn't cover websites at all. And these cases are now being used by business associations, I'll name them in a little bit, to argue for ADA notification acts that would require us to send a certified letter to a defendant before we can file a lawsuit and then wait 6 months to see if they decide to fix the accessibility barriers. And if they do, we can't go forward, even if the fixes they propose are inadequate and even if we were harmed by their discrimination. Now, those acts are going to come up again this year, and the drumbeat messages of those businesses is turning Congress against us and against our rights. Because of these cases, businesses are arguing that digital equality for blind people is unjust to businesses. That's the myth of injustice I'm going to talk about. Those cases are creating frustration among judges who will seek any excuse to kick the cases out of court, often making bad law that the NFB has to step in and fix, hurting every one of us as we try to navigate the digital world. And these click-buy lawsuits are being used to tarnish all of us as if we were not enforcing real civil rights. I've been called a drive-by lawyer in court more times than I can count. And the NFB has been accused of fabricating cases just to file lawsuits. And none of that is true. We don't rely on automated tests alone. We don't agree to confidential settlements except in unusual circumstances. We back up our complaints with all our resources. Yeah, baby. We know the law, and we monitor our settlements to make sure they're fulfilled. We pay attention to the legal precedents we're making. So what's the problem with filing lots of lawsuits challenging inaccessible websites? Nothing in particular. There are lots of inaccessible websites, and they're violating the civil rights of blind people. They're excluding blind people from everything, from healthcare to voting to work to school. They have to be challenged. And while sending a demand letter to a defendant in advance of a lawsuit is a best practice, I don't think we're obligated to educate them about the law. It's their website. They bought it. They designed it. They chose not to make it accessible. We have no obligation to explain it to them. My mother used to say, and I still believe her, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and getting caught for violating the law is not injustice. But businesses like Domino's Pizza and Winn-Dixie Grocery Store chain and the National Restaurant Association and the American Hotel and Lodging Association and the American Bankers Association are arguing in court that it's unjust to require them to make their websites accessible so blind people can be their customers. They say, oh, this is not fair. We need a regulation that specifically says that websites are covered by the ADA. Otherwise, how could we know? Well, that's pretty funny, because the Department of Justice has been saying that websites of public accommodations and government agencies are covered since 1996. And courts have been saying so, too. So read the paper, people. Those businesses are also saying, well, we need a regulation that says what the accessibility standard is. Well, that's funny, because when I was in the Justice Department trying to issue a regulation that would tell them what the standard was, they opposed that effort. Now they know there's no possibility of getting a regulation because of the executive order that requires each agency to rescind two regulations if they want to issue one new one. So, safe in the knowledge that the federal government isn't going to issue a regulation, those businesses argue, well, the courts can't enforce the ADA because it would violate our due process rights to require us to make our websites accessible, because we don't know what accessible means. Domino's is taking that argument to the Supreme Court this year. Winn-Dixie has made that argument to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. These companies should be ashamed. In the face of clear violations of your civil rights, they have the nerve to argue that we're violating their rights by demanding to be able to buy their products. So, okay, is there really any way they don't understand what accessibility means? How many of us have heard of WCAG, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines? It's been around for decades. The federal government adopted it as its own accessibility standard under Section 508. Other countries have adopted it as their accessibility standard, and there isn't another accessibility standard. But the ADA doesn't say you have to comply with WCAG. If there were a way, another standard, or if a company came up with some super cool way to make its website accessible that wasn't WCAG, what the ADA specifically and explicitly says is you're required to provide equally effective communication. So as long as everything your website communicates is communicated equally effectively for people with and without disabilities, you're in compliance. You know what communication is, right? You know what effective is, right? You know what equal is, right? All they have to know is that they've provided the information in a way that lets people with disabilities acquire the same information, engage in the same interactions, and enjoy the same services as sighted people, with substantially equivalent ease of use, including privacy and independence. But there is a problem with filing more lawsuits than you can actually litigate. I say a two-lawyer firm can't handle 10 lawsuits a week and do a competent job litigating them. Disability rights lawyers and plaintiffs have a higher moral obligation to our community and to the disability rights movement than someone who files slip and fall complaints. We have a moral obligation to each other to help the law develop in a way that respects our civil rights, that fixes the problems the law was designed to fix. And we can't do that if we don't know the law. We can't do that if we don't use the law effectively, and we can't do that if we don't make sure the fixes happen. We have an obligation not to become part of the problem. Confidential settlements just hide the problem. They hide the inaccessibility of the website that continues to exclude blind people. They hide the incompetence of the plaintiff's lawyer. They hide the bad faith of the website owner. Confidential settlements avoid accountability on all sides. That's why the NFB publicizes its cases and settlements on its website. And accountability doesn't belong to the individual plaintiff or her lawyer. Accountability belongs to all of us. The disability community, the community of people who want to decide what businesses we patronize based on those companies' behavior, and the American public. $5,000 to an individual plaintiff lets a business off the hook without accountability to the rest of us. So what's the solution? People or these businesses are trying to say, you should ignore inaccessible websites. And we say, no, 380 websites per minute, people. If those websites interfere with blind people's access to those businesses' services, we're going to let the owners know we won't accept that. But it's not the number of lawsuits that's a problem here. It's the quality of the lawsuits and the ability of the lawyers to handle them. We don't have too many cases. What we have is not enough qualified and ethical lawyers to handle them. Some people argue we should let small businesses off the hook. Well, no. Those businesses deserve to have us as customers, and making their websites accessible is not hard and it's not expensive. Some businesses say, we need more time. Well, it's been 30 years. Some people say, well, we should disbar or ban the so-called click-by lawyers and their clients from court because they file too many lawsuits. Well, sometimes that seems fun, but that actually hurts all of us. How many websites do you use in a day? One article said we use 89 websites a month. That's three a day. And if 98% of them are accessible, that's over 1,000 websites a year. So how many lawsuits is too many? And those inaccessible websites are not just an inconvenience. They're discrimination, they're exclusion, and they hurt blind people. They hurt your productivity at work. They hurt your ability to educate your children. They hurt your ability to have your vote counted. They hurt your ability to participate in your community, in my community too. And fighting your way through all those inaccessible websites wastes your time and your energy, taking time away from living the life you want. I think accountability is the answer. We need to hold ourselves and our lawyers and the businesses we buy from accountable. Tell your lawyer you won't accept a confidential settlement that doesn't fix the website. If you have friends who are plaintiffs in cases that don't fix the problem or cover up the problem, tell them you don't respect that. And call out lawyers who file so many cases they can't possibly handle them all. If you are a lawyer, join us in doing accessibility cases. We need more reputable, competent lawyers to handle these cases. There are plenty of them to be handled. And know the law and the pitfalls so you don't make bad law. Now, the NFB lawyers, or at least I, have encountered most of the pitfalls in this area. Sometimes I've fallen into them. But we're happy to help you avoid falling into them. And hold businesses and web designers accountable. If a website isn't accessible, let's call them out. The NFB does that through resolutions that condemn those businesses' practices. The NFB does that by publicizing its lawsuits and settlements. But do enough people, blind people and sighted people, know about the websites that are excluding people with disabilities? Do we boycott businesses whose websites discriminate by taking our money elsewhere when their websites aren't accessible? Do we tell our friends? Do we write to the members of the National Restaurant Association? I have the list. And the members of the American Hotel and Lodging Association and the other business associations who think it's unjust of us to ask them to sell us their stuff. And all of us should resist any effort to cut back on our ability to enforce our rights. Notification acts aren't the answer. Businesses were notified 30 years ago when the ADA passed. They were notified again in 1996 when the Department of Justice said, websites are covered. And they've been notified in the many cases by the NFB and others that required accessibility. So I'm going to quote one of my heroes, the amazing Beyonce, and I'm wearing her t-shirt right now. It says, "I ain't sorry." I ain't sorry for demanding accessible websites, mobile apps, self-checkout machines, kiosks, educational technology, employment software, and every other type of technology people use. I ain't sorry for filing lawsuits when companies refuse to comply. I ain't sorry for making it public when a company makes its website accessible or when it refuses to do so. But most of all, I ain't sorry for representing the NFB and its members to insist on accessibility. In fact, I am so incredibly proud to be able to work with all of you. Thank you so much. All right. Okay.